Ladies and gentlemen, this is Wally Butterworth. The Democratic Negro Party under Lyndon Johnson has just finished ramming down the throats of the American people the most colossal fraud and treason in the history of this republic. Its sole purpose was to deceive American mothers and fathers that their sons are still being killed by the tens of thousands in Vietnam under the guise of patriotism and protection of our country. These Democrats still use the same threat they've used now for 50 years, a Jewish World Banker creation called communism. And those Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearings were rammed into your living room several hours a day over two of our three kosher communist TV networks, just to show you dumb goyim the complete accord between the President and Congress. This present brainwash began with the President's State of the Union message, which under the Constitution he is obliged to deliver to Congress. But Lyndon was caught with his pants down. He had told the American people repeatedly months earlier that we weren't really at war with a little country about the size of New York State and with less population than New York State, that we hadn't even lost a battle. Now, with thousands dead and the Treasury dead broke, he has to admit it is a war and has been since 1959 under those traitors Eisenhower and Kennedy as well as Johnson. He had to admit he needs another 200,000 men to restrain those few million communists. Not to beat hell out of them, mind you, just to restrain them. We quote his words. We will never surrender. We will not advance, but we shall not retreat. When the communists learn that we cannot be overcome, then they will be ready to sit down and negotiate a peace. Unquote. How can the Viet Cong make peace when there isn't any war? The Constitution says that Congress and only Congress has the authority to declare war. Any American who allows a nitwit president to involve this republic in undeclared wars isn't worthy of the name American. When war is declared, the enemy country has to be named. The enemy isn't the Viet Cong communists, nor is it Peking. It is definitely revealed that the cause of this undeclared war is the Standard Oil Company and the Dutch Shell Oil Company, owned by Wall Street Jewish bankers. These oil companies of Rockefeller and World Jewry are paying huge sums to the communists of North Vietnam as protection for their oil wells, pipelines, refineries, service stations, and fleets of gasoline trucks. This bribe money is being used by the communists to buy more guns and ammunition to kill more thousands of American fighting men. Think of it. American traitor bankers paying out money to the communists to kill American soldiers, sailors, Air Force, and Marines. If these Rockefellers can pay money to kill Americans, what about Americans eliminating these Rockefellers, every one of them? They're long overdue. This whole thing was first published in the January issue of Capsule News, published in Washington, after a trip to the whole Indochina Peninsula by Morris Beale. He visited Thailand and Laos as well as Vietnam. It also comes out that Dean Rusk, the Secretary of State, had to admit these facts about the American oil companies in his secret testimony before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Oh no, not the public testimony, the brainwash that was rammed down into your living rooms, but the secret testimony given 2 days before. And why not secret? Doesn't every thinking American know that Dean Rusk was formerly president of the Rockefeller Foundation and has been on the Rockefeller payroll all his life? Do you think he's going to publicly blow the whistle on his own masters? Why, they'd eliminate him overnight. This same Dean Rusk sat down at the table with the convicted traitor Alger Hiss in 1945 when he drew up the communist UN Charter. This same Dean Rusk delivered North Korea to communism under that modern Republican Eisenhower. Yes, Lyndon Johnson had to ask Congress for 200,000 more of your sons to kill. He even pointed out that he might want high school boys as well. Not the puny beatnik marijuana-smoking weaklings, mind you. Just the rugged, mentally alert track and field and football athletes. He and this nitwit McNamara, Secretary of Defense, have hinted that this undeclared war might go on for 20 years. Who cares about your son's education? Under world communism, your sons won't need any education. Lyndon is also fresh out of money. Already $10 billion's gone down the drain, and now he wants another $10 billion to continue what he finally is forced to admit is a war. How to get that money? If Vietnam were an honest-to-God declared war, he could borrow it from the American people by selling war bonds. But that can't be done when there isn't officially any war. So what to do? Why, take it from the American people by taxation. You're already going to pay some of it with your next telephone bill or your new car. That tax was put back on at once. And wait for 1,000 more. Income tax is already raised 5%, and let's see you duck that one. Ladies and gentlemen, from the December 3rd issue of Don Bell's Closer Up, we quote you four sublime statements showing the depth of mental processes of this Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara. Listen carefully. 1. We have stopped losing the war in Vietnam. 2. We have no desire to win the war in Vietnam. 3. Since we are not to win, it may take as long as 20 years to keep from losing. 4. 300,000 more men may be needed to ensure the objective, which is a stalemate. There speaks the greatest arch traitor in this country. That guy belongs in the booby hatch, the padded cell. How did he get to be Secretary of Defense? Why, his banker pals of the Rockefeller and Ford Foundations decided he was going to be, and Lyndon did as he was told. A stalemate war. Isn't it disgusting? Can any American ever forget the words of General Douglas MacArthur when he told a Congress in the teeth of that skunk Harry Truman, "In war there is no substitute for victory." When these bankers started the war in Vietnam under Eisenhower, America went in there as advisors and technicians who would help train the South Vietnamese to defeat North Vietnamese communists. Now we know that South Vietnam itself is more than 80% communist. 94,000 South Vietnamese troops deserted last year. So Lyndon comes up with the switch that we're following out our solemn commitments of the Geneva Accord. Neither the United States nor South Vietnam ever signed that accord. So Lyndon lied to us all along with the bankers. Do you know what we can thank for that? Why, the traitorous CETO, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, signed by that arch phony who married a Rockefeller, John Foster Dulles. If the American people are dumb enough to allow traitor presidents to start undeclared wars whenever they want, then they deserve to have their sons killed by the thousands or the millions, and to have them sent home maimed for life. They deserve to have them die by the thousands of malaria in the jungles of Vietnam, which they are doing. When a king cobra bites any human being, there's no use looking for a doctor or medicine. You're dead in less than 5 minutes. Thousands of our boys have died by the bites of these snakes and other deadly jungle insects, many squeezed to death by jungle pythons, just as deadly a snake as the cobra. Dear Americans, your sons are no more fighting for Uncle Sam than they are for Julius Caesar. And the Roman citizens bumped off that dictator exactly 2,010 years ago. Your sons are fighting for the communist United Nations, a Jewish communist ideal of which Jews boast. Vietnam is number 27 of the 40 wars of the United Nations since 1945. Let's get rid of those Jew communist rats. They have already bought the traitors of our government, including the Congress. The Democratic Party, which has unleashed every war upon this country since World War I in 1917, is a greater enemy to this nation than the Communist Party ever thought of being. Tell us something. Do you receive daily casualty lists in the Jew Communist press? We remember as a kid in high school when the American people demanded the daily publishing of those casualty lists. But today, oh no, you're too dumb for that. All we want is your cannon fodder, your sons, never mind who else dies. We haven't yet reached the casualty total of Harry Truman's police action in Korea of 158,000 with 55,000 killed. But don't worry, it won't be long now. Our sons won't freeze to death in Vietnam jungles as they did in North Korea, when the Jew Lyman Lemnitzer deliberately didn't send them winter uniforms in 40 below zero weather, but did send them $200 worth of baling wire instead out of $10 billion appropriated by Congress. Let us read you this truthful article from the fine patriotic sheet The Southern Review, published in Jackson, Mississippi, and dated January 1, 1966. A young Jackson man recently visited a relative at Fort Jackson in Charleston, South Carolina. Trains arrived daily with the dead and wounded from Vietnam. He visited the wounded in a hospital. Said one soldier, "Always too few were sent to do a job. They would be killed, mutilated, or captured. Then a few more were sent, never enough to accomplish the job." One company was ordered to clear a minefield by running through it. That company should have riddled with bullets the officers who gave those orders. "But," said the boy, "that's how I lost my leg, but I was lucky I got back." Each train brings approximately 1,000 dead bodies, and this is but one base of many. Boxes containing the bodies are handled by forklift in groups of 15 or 20, with all the respect one would extend to a sack of potatoes. Unquote. But of course, when your son's body arrives home, it'll be comfortably resting in a nice flag-draped pine box with no trace of any gasoline smell on the flag. We can only sorrowfully suggest that more appropriate music than "Lead Kindly Light" or the Injimisco or Supplicanti of a Requiem Mass at your son's funeral service might be a hired quartet singing "We're the Esso Boys." Bear that in mind when you next drive into your standard Esso or Shell service station to tank up. A Cairo, Egypt newspaper, through Egypt's foreign minister, reveals that the Viet Cong in Hanoi now have 106 American flyers shot down and captured. It's our guess that by now they have many more. The Hanoi government has decided to put these Americans on trial as criminals for the barbarous act of bombing a people and a nation with whom we are not at war. Well, if that isn't chickens coming home to roost from the Nuremberg trials, we'd like to know what else it is. We owe this disgrace to the bloodthirsty American Jews who are still hanging and jailing German soldiers who fought for their country over 20 years after World War II is over. And we were officially at war with Germany. An American general who saw these Nuremberg murders said, "God help American soldiers if we ever get on the receiving end." Well, we're on the receiving end right now. Maybe when those trials start, a few million people will have guts enough to march on Congress and demand an end to this undeclared slaughter and bankruptcy of our nation. There isn't an honest American living who wouldn't gladly swap the Viet Cong communists, even Stephen, one senator and one House member for every flyer returned. Then we could send those decent flyers to Congress. But the communists aren't that dumb. They already have these traitors working for them in Congress. Most patriots recommend 10 Jew bankers and industrialists, CFR members for every flyer returned, and $1 million with every Jew. Not bad. It would be funny if it weren't so tragic. Ladies and gentlemen, this whole illegal use of our fine young fighting men is an exact repetition of what the Wall Street money barons and international concessionaires have always done. We quote the great Marine Corps hero, the late Major General Smedley Butler, shortly before he died. Quote, "I spent 33 years and 4 months in the active service in the country's most agile military force, the Marines. I served in all ranks from second lieutenant to major general. During that period, I spent most of my time being a high-class muscle man for big business, for Wall Street and the bankers. Thus, I helped make Mexico, especially Tampico, safe for American oil interests in 1914, under Woodrow Wilson, if you remember. I helped make Haiti and Cuba a decent place for the National City Bank boys to collect revenue in. I helped in the raping of half a dozen Central American republics for the benefit of Wall Street. I helped purify Nicaragua for the international banking house of Brown Brothers and Company in 1909-12. That is Brown Brothers and Harriman now, Averill Harriman, no less. I brought light to the Dominican Republic for the sugar interests in 1916 and Honduras in 1903. In China in 1927, I helped see to it that Standard Oil went its way unmolested." End of General Smedley Butler's quotations. Why do you good people think this Jew banker Eugene Black was sent by Lyndon Johnson to observe the situation in Vietnam? He observed it all right. By setting up a $1 billion bank in the Far East and another $1 billion bank in the Philippines. "Your sons will continue to die until all is pronounced safe and sure for Rockefeller Standard Oil Company and the Jews of the Dutch Shell Oil Company. Lyndon Johnson gives out that ours is the finest equipped military force the world ever had. Yet we have confirmation of letters written home by our servicemen that they're shooting 30-06 Springfield rifles of World War I vintage over 50 years old, and after they get them cleaned out so that the rifles will shoot at all. We've seen pictures of these rifles. A friend of ours with a long distinguished service in the military forces received a letter from his grandson asking him to go out and buy him a Colt 45 automatic pistol. He said that the Marines in Vietnam had no sidearms. Yep, the finest equipped force in the world. Talk about a fixed quiz program on TV like a few years ago. These Senate Foreign Relations Committee hearings were really rigged. They weren't Senate hearings at all. They were Council on Foreign Relations banker hearings. Russian-born David Sarnoff, CFR Wall Street Jew, was the chief rigger for NBC, and William S. Paley, whose name is Polinsky, was the chief rigger for CBS. The chief CFR quizmasters for the Senate were arch-traitors Senator William J. Fulbright, Stuart Symington of Missouri, and Senator Clifford Case of New Jersey. The two chief contestants were CFR members Dean Rusk and CFR General Max Taylor, representing CFR traitor Secretary McNamara. Skulking in the background like a vulture is that self-declared traitor Senator Thomas Dodd of Connecticut, member of the Communist World Federalists. He's trying to disarm the citizens by confiscating every gun in America. This rat who swore to uphold the Constitution has publicly said, quote, "I am convinced that World Federation is ultimately the only solution to the problem of peace in the world," unquote. 50 years ago, that talk and membership in the CFR would have been a hanging matter. In Andrew Jackson's time, it would have meant shooting on sight. Oh, do you see how badly we have slipped? A congressional majority led by Democrats has taken the pay of Jewish communists to bankrupt America and to destroy Christianity, openly defying the Son of Almighty God. Behind every Vietnam is Jew-Soviet Russia. Let us then serve warning, and only one warning, on these Christ killers, that if they attempt to take one foot of territory anywhere on earth, we will destroy Russia and all Jewism all over the world. Better an atomic declared war tomorrow morning with 50 million American dead, so that the remaining 130 millions might forever be free from the blight and curse of Antichrist Jewism. We repeat, let's get at it. These yellow curs will run at the opening gun. Let us summarize this Vietnam situation. In 1956, the United States prevented free elections there by force. Had we allowed them, Vietnam would be a unified country and Khrushchev would have had the oil. But CFR stooge Dwight Eisenhower, at Rockefeller's dictation, sent Ngo Diem to head the government and protect Standard Oil interests on the whole Indochina Peninsula. Diem proved no good for the SO boys and was murdered. Do you remember we wouldn't allow Madam New, Diem's sister-in-law, back in the country to see President Kennedy? And that Madam New wrote to Jacqueline Kennedy after Kennedy's assassination saying, "Now you're getting exactly what I went through." The foul Democrats in Washington repeatedly denied that Vietnam is a UN world government war until Lyndon Johnson's tongue slipped at a press conference when he said, "We are in Vietnam fulfilling our solemn commitments under the CETO Treaty." Ladies and gentlemen, a CETO war is a United Nations war, a world government war. CETO is a regional agency of the UN under Article 53 of the UN Charter. It says, "The Security Council shall, where appropriate, utilize such regional arrangements, but no enforcement action shall be taken without authorization of the Security Council." Article 54 says, "The Security Council shall at all times be kept fully informed of activities undertaken or in contemplation by regional agencies." Thus, our traitor Congress has transferred to the Security Council all authority and has agreed to fight this war for the UN with your money. Lyndon Johnson, President of the United States, means nothing. He's an office boy. The head of the Security Council is the Russian Vladimir Suslov. He directs exactly how and when your sons are going to be killed. Do you want further proof? We read you a letter from Dean Rusk's traitor State Department to a member of Congress dated September the 16th, 1965. "Dear Congressman, thank you for your letter of September the 8th regarding the meeting of our obligations under Article 54 of the UN Charter with respect to Vietnam. The government of the United States has informed the Security Council promptly and fully of all our major activities in Vietnam. Reporting on the conflict by the press has been comprehensive and complete, obviating any necessity to inform the UN on a day-to-day basis." Know who signed that letter? Douglas MacArthur, the second nephew of the great general. Oh, God, how contagious and widespread is treason. General MacArthur said, "I could have won the war in Korea in a maximum of 10 days with considerably fewer casualties." The UN said no. A U.S. general in Vietnam said emphatically, "We can win the war in Vietnam in a week if we go all out." Lyndon Johnson and McNamara say 20 years. Arise, Americans. When your sons are dead, you and the rest of the family come next under world government. Flash. As we go to press, U Thant, Secretary General of the United Nations, has just forbidden the United States to bomb North Vietnam. Hail to the SO boys. Hail the Council on Foreign Relations. This is Wally Butterworth. Goodbye, all.